Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Tony Presley.
Oh, there it is. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, you are my everything. If you're here this morning, very quickly, and you can't say that, before the end of the meeting, you're going to say that. Okay? Because he doesn't want a bit from you. He wants everything. And that's tough. I mean, that's really tough. But if you're here this morning, I want this to go off in your spirit right now. If you can't say, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, you are my everything, then by the end of the meeting, you're going to. Thanks, Dan. Thursday night, I don't know if you're like me, but I go home Thursday night and I'm absolutely shattered. Because, see, we've not got a Moses, we've got a Joseph. And Joseph's got a lot of energy. And I said, God, I don't think we have the energy for this. And many of you might feel the same, because I used to be a church maniac, where I'd be at church 7 days a week, and I'd never see my family. My family suffered, and it was terrible. But now I say, God, I don't seem to have the energy. And God said, I'm not looking for energy. I'm looking for commitment. I think that's brilliant, because some of us, I mean, I go home, I'm absolutely shattered sometimes. And especially this weekend coming up, we've got Thursday night, we've got Friday night, we've got Saturday, we've got Saturday night, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, God, it's okay, son. You know, I'm just looking for commitment. I'm not looking for you to run around the ceiling every 2 minutes. We've been having some great Thursday nights, but we've been having some great prayer meetings in the mornings over at Lamplow. I think they've been absolutely brilliant. And one morning when Pastor Paul was away, Gemma led the prayer meeting. And the whole theme was unity. I want to tell you something. You ain't going to take anything being a lone ranger. The only way you're going to do something is in unity. God's looking for a people in unity. And Thursday night, I don't know if Pastor Paul was looking at me. I went into the back room and I felt like God was speaking to me. And Pastor Paul was sort of calling me in to sort of pray for somebody. And I said, God, do you want me to give this now? And he says, no, I want you to give it on Sunday. I'm going to start off with a prophecy, and I'm going to finish with a prophecy. Because I think God's in the doing mode. Pastor Paul also said something on Thursday, both meetings. Now, now, now. He kept saying the word now. And you know, we've got a God that's a now God. 962 times in the Old Testament, it says now. We say, you're an Old Testament preacher. Well, in the New Testament, it says now 405 times. So you can't get away from it. God is a now God. You know, and I've had some great times in the past, but I want to tell you, they're gone. And I can report to you right now, Lynn and I have found a home. And it's... But when you find a home, you get trouble. You know, Joshua took the people over, but he had to defeat 31 kingdoms before he could do anything. You know, we had a thanks, Dan. Oh, by the way, some people have mentioned to me they've got to leave early today. So if you see people walking out, it's not because they're offended with me. It's a question they've got to leave. Okay. Friday night, my phone rang about 1:15 in the morning. And my newest grandson had been rushed into hospital. He's 4 weeks old, and his heart rate went up to 300. And it was real serious. They had to cut his clothes off, and they've been working on him. They still don't know what it is, but it's another attack. 2 years ago, my daughter had a stillborn baby, and she's blaming herself. And she said to me yesterday, she said, you know, am I being punished? I want to tell you, when you find a home, when you start to fit into what God's doing, there are going to be some attacks. But you know, you've got brothers and sisters around you that are going to walk with you. Amen. They're going to pray. I've got my team in America, they're praying for the baby. You know, Brian prayed for me this morning about the baby. Other people are praying for me in Nottingham. And you know, this is an attack. We know where it's coming from. That little baby, 4 weeks old. And, you know, we want to see him completely, completely healed in Jesus' name. We're speaking it out. But Thursday night, God was speaking to me, and it very, very simple. And it was this. God said, tell the people that he's ready, but are you? God says, I'm ready. But are you? And I said, but God, he says, well, go and read Genesis 6. And God said, I'll paraphrase now. God said, I'm sick of the people. I'm sick of all this. I'm going to do away with the people. I made all the people in my image, but look at them. They're an absolute mess. They're full of sin. I'm going to get rid of them all. I'm going to cause a flood. I'm going to kill them all. But I found a righteous man, Noah. And he said to Noah, build a boat, build an ark, whatever you want to call it. And it took Noah 120 years to build that ark. But if Noah had taken 10 years to build that, God would have flooded it then. If he'd have took him 200 years, God would have flooded it then. God was waiting on Noah. I want to say something this morning. God's waiting on us. But God says, I'm a now God. I'm a now God. And please, now, he must have been saying to Noah, hurry up and build that ark. But you see, Noah could have said, this is too big a job for me. And, you know, Thursday nights are too much of a chore. And I haven't got the energy. I can't build an ark, you know, bigger than any church in Scarborough. But Lord, I can't. He built it. And 8 people went into the ark. And 8 people came out of the ark, but nobody else lived. And God was saying, read that about Noah. Read that about Noah. Because he said, 99% of you is not going to cut it. So I'm sorry, 99% is not good enough. See, if 99% was good enough, 5 babies every week in this country will be given to the wrong parents. And if 99% was good enough, 2 takeoffs from Heathrow Airport every day would crash. Thinking, whoa, hang on a second, this don't sound good. If you gave me, Brian says to me, I've just won the lottery, I'm going to give you a brand new Rolls Royce. Thanks, Brian. Thank you. But he takes one of the tyres away. Car's useless. Absolutely useless. Brand new Rolls Royce, 200 grand. Take a tyre away, it's useless. And God's saying, you know, all or nothing, guys. 99.9%. Pretty good, it's not good enough. I want more. Because, see, we've got a leader that's willing to give 110%. So, strong leaders normally grow strong people. And I think we've got to look at, 99% ain't going to cut it, guys. We're not looking for religion. Because religion produces servants. And when I got saved, all you had to be was keep them humble, keep them poor, keep them humble, keep them poor. The pastors were taught that. You know, unless you keep the pastor on a bike and keep him poor, he's not humble. What a joke. I want to see this man in the best house, the best car, the best salary in this country. That's the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God says the best for me. I don't want some dumb church who can't do anything. I want a church that's going to do things. And guess what? In this country, you need money. God's going to provide it. See, religion breeds servants, but the kingdom and relationship breeds sons. Yeah. Ladies, when I say sons, you're included. Whenever I mention men or sons, you're included. No gender. Do you want to just have religion? See, Christianity is really one of the religions, and I'm not blaspheming Christ here. All I'm saying is, in Antioch, they were first called Christians, and pagans named them. They go, hang on a sec. I heard one of these preachers that I say, I used to be a Christian. He says, now I'm a citizen of heaven. Amen. I'm thinking, yeah, there's something in this. You chew that over for yourself. But when Gemma said that in the prayer meeting that morning, unity, something went off in my spirit. Unity, unity, unity. And I thought, yeah. Sounds to me, that's a bit like a net. And in 2 Corinthians 6:12, it says, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the time of salvation. Not, well, we might do something in the future. Well, no, now is the time we're going to start to do it. And just looking around, this place seems pretty full on a Sunday, but boy, it's going to get a lot. You'd have to book your seat soon. That's what's going to happen. See, Moses brought the people out of Egypt, and he was supposed to take them into the promised land. And they came, after 3 days, they came to a pool at Mara. And I heard an historian say this, that the pool at Mara was like, if they'd have drunk that water, it was like milk of magnesia, and it would have cleaned them out. There was minerals in it. It would have cleaned Egypt out of them. Then they could have moved on. But what did they say? No, it's bitter. No, I don't want that. Well, I like coming to this church, but I don't like what Pastor Paul's done with this, and I don't quite like that. And then, see, all they were a bunch of snivelling babies. They'd come, feed me. 25,600 tons a day of food God gave them. And he gave them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They didn't even have an electric bill. they had light at night. And they're saying, feed me. And God said, what a snivelling bunch of babies. That just sounds like the church. It's like present company who accepted. But it does, it sounds like the church. I've been in enough churches to know that everybody's offended over everything. If you get offended, get over it. Stop it. Right. Stop getting offended. See, these people, they were blessed. God blessed them with food. They didn't get sick. Their clothes didn't wear out. God was really good to these people. But you see, we're not here to be blessed. We're here to change our world. We've been blessed by God choosing us. We've been blessed. If God never blessed me another iota the rest of my life, boy, I've had my share. We're not here to be blessed. We're here to change the world. See, Joshua and Caleb, it said they serve God wholeheartedly. Two people. Only those two went in, and everybody under 20. How many in here under 20? Yeah, quite a few. Yeah, he's lying. Father, we pray about that. Joshua and Caleb, they were wholehearted. God's looking for wholehearted people. I didn't say that they were marathon runners and they could run around the ceiling every Thursday night at Lamplu. I said, but God's looking for commitment. These people weren't committed. God wants us to step up to a new level. Sorry and all that. We've gone through the stuff, but now it's a new level. If you've got your Bibles, will you turn to Acts chapter 2? And I'll get through this as quick as I can, but Acts 2:42. Give her more, Lord. Give her more. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. How many?
Everyone.
See, it's not nobody's going to be left out. It's an all or nothing deal. God wants to use all of us because we're all going to be needed. Because you might be good at this and you're good at that and you're good at that and you're good at that. It's an all thing. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, God added. Acts 4:32, just turn over. Acts 4:32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. See, you've got a key here. Everybody saw Acts and thousands got saved. They were added to the kingdom. They were multiplied in the kingdom. But they didn't realize what it took. You know, looking at some of you, I'm thinking, oh boy. You know, they were all heart in the same heart, same minds. But I don't like them and they don't like me and I don't like them. Get over it. Get over it. We're in this thing together. Sorry, Brian. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possession was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ, and much grace was upon some of them. No, don't say that in my word. It says, much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet, would distribute it to anyone who had need. Amen. What I'm saying is, one heart, one mind. Acts 5:15. As a result, the people brought the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. So he ain't got to pray for people for 20 minutes. Peter's shadow fell on them. It was the Holy Ghost that was in him, but Peter's shadow fell on them. As he passed by, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. We're not seeing enough healings. When my daughter had that stillborn baby, I went down to the hospital, picked the baby up, and I thought, it's going to come to life. I had faith for that baby to come to life. I'm picking that baby up. Come on. It didn't happen. I'm thinking, man, you know, God, you tell me in your word, ask anything in my name, and I'll do it for you. You know, are you lying to me? But we've got to get to the stage where we're in so much one accord, so much going in the same direction. You know, fellowship is three fellas in one ship rowing the same way. Not everybody rowing a different way. We're never going to get anywhere. You just go round in circles. And that's what the children of Israel did. They went round in circles for 40 years. That wasn't fellowship. They were rowing in all different ways. They never went anywhere. They never did anything. It's time to move out. You know, in Joshua 3, verse 1, it says, it's time to move out. Now is the time. It's time. Pastor Paul talked the other week about consecrate yourself. We're in a time of consecration. And you know, God talked to Joshua about consecrate yourself for tomorrow. Tomorrow's here. Tomorrow is here. And God wants to get on with it. I would hazard a guess God was looking at Noah saying, when are you going to finish that ark? I want to clean this place up. And it's like 50 years, 60 years, 100 years. And God's saying, are you ready yet? Noah finishes, he shuts the door and says, that's it, it rained. Bang, finished. And I tell you, God's waiting on us. First part of Joshua, God says to Joshua, he says, Moses is dead. Joshua said, well, that's pretty stupid. I've just been to his funeral and I've been mourning for a month. And God says to you, Moses is dead. What he's saying is, Moses' type of leadership is dead. The old ways are dead. The way we did it before, Moses was for bringing you out, but I've got a man who's going to take you in. This is the key. Joshua, a different type of man. When Moses went home from the tent of meeting, Joshua slept in there all night. See the difference? See, Joshua was a man who was 100%. He wasn't 99.9%. Joshua was 100% man. And he took the people over. They all set out when he took them over. It was all of them. They all set out together. It was a body experience, a covenant experience. Never been this way before, God says. He says, but forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. And I'm thinking, man alive. God, have I got enough energy for this? You know, have I got another campaign in me? And God says, well, of course you have. But I'm only looking for commitment. I'm not looking at you for be a marathon runner. I want your commitment. In Matthew 13 and 47, it says, Jesus said these words. So if Jesus said it, it's important. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. And in Matthew 4 and 18, he calls Peter and he calls the other fishermen. He says, come follow me. Something to get you thinking. When he calls Peter and Andrew, they follow him. And he calls John and his brother, and in the boat is Zebedee, their dad. Now he says, come and follow him. Why didn't Zebedee go and follow him? I want to know why it was only the two boys and not the dad, because he was in the same boat. Now, I've never thought about that before, but it's something to get your thinking going. But he said, follow me. He said, and I will make you fishers of men. And we've always heard that script, oh, fishers of men, fishers of men. What does it mean? You know, it means put away your fishing pole, and let's get the net out. Let's get the net out. When you read in Luke 5 and you see the disciples, they've not caught anything. Jesus said, well, cast your net on the other side. Jesus knows where the fish are. They cast their net and they got so many fish, the net breaks. See, that was the net pre-resurrection. John 21, the post-resurrection net did not break. Ah, a little key here. You know, after the cross, after the resurrection, the net, when they caught fish in John 21, It didn't break. And there was 153 fish in that net. Now, I got a little interpretation that one is the number of the supremacy of God, five is the number of grace, and three is the number of unity or perfection. Now, I've always wondered, what's this 153? It's a weird number. And I just came up with that little thing. That's really what it means. There's brand new fish waiting out there to be caught. But I like the scripture in Acts 1:1 where it says this. It says, Jesus first began to do, then teach. I don't know about you, if you've been in church a lot of years, I'm teached and teached and teached out. I'm all teached out. I want to see some do. I want to see. Now, I can't dance like Pastor Paul, but I want to see some do. At least he's up here doing. He's doing all the time. I get worn out watching him. But Jesus first began to do, then teach. You start doing, start loving, start caring for people, then you earn the right to teach them. Don't go whacking a track in their hand and beating them over the head with a Bible. That's going to get nobody anywhere. Otherwise, the church would have been full in this country already, wouldn't it? The church in this country is ineffective. It's ineffective. There was more going on in Old Trafford yesterday than there is in church. They get more excited at a football match. You know, we ain't come here to get excited. We ain't come here to make a noise and scream and shout. We've come here to change the world. And we've come here because people are going to be sniffing around saying, what's going on in there? What is going on? I want some of that. I want to be like them. But it's a now God. Now. But it's an all thing. Sorry, it's an all thing. Now, if God put you in this net, you can't leave. If God didn't put you in this net, you can't stay. Oh. But if God put you in the net, you can't leave. If you do, you'll be most miserable. In Habakkuk 1, I'm not going to read it, I've not got time. But in Habakkuk 1, it talks about the enemy's got a net as well. And the enemy goes fishing, and he gets fish in his net. Well, we know that, because his net's pretty big. And he's fishing, but it says the fish that he catches have not got a ruler. It's fish without, they haven't got a ruler. We're very fortunate in this country, because we've got a queen or a king. So we understand kingdom. We understand authority and kingdom. Most of the newspapers are tearing the politicians apart and tearing everybody apart. But our job is to pray for our leaders. See, because we're part of a kingdom. We understand that if we're a citizen in this kingdom, we have rights. But we're citizens in the kingdom of God. And we've got some rights. Sons have got rights. Servants have got no rights. Servants might live in the house, but they might not. But sons have got rights. You saw that with the parable of the prodigal son. He was still a son. He said, I'll be a servant. You don't have to be a servant because you're a son. And God's looking for sons, people who know that they're sons, that they know who they are in him. And that will change the world. So the fishing pole days are over. The Lone Ranger days are over. This is a net. This is a body experience. I know it's a bad word, covenant. In churches, covenant is a real bad word, and people don't like to get involved in covenant. You know, I taught on blood covenant for 7 weeks. I'm not a teacher, but I taught on blood covenant for 7 weeks. It's an awesome thing to study, blood covenant. Just look at David and Jonathan. You know, Jonathan would have died for David. I want to be around people who would, I dare to say, would die for me, and I would die for them. I want to be around people like that. And I've got to say something to you. Lynn and I have been to a lot of churches. Big churches, small churches. But we found more love in this place than any other place we've been. We've been to places for 6 years, nobody's ever spoken to us. Good churches, successful churches. But since we came in here, people have loved on us. People have had us around for a meal, and people, this is different. This is why I can say we're at home. We went to Bradford the other week, because we've been going to Bradford for a few years. We sat in the meeting at Bradford, it was awesome. 2,000 people, it was wonderful. And I said to Lynn, I said, I wish I was back in Scarborough. Well, we were on vacation, and I thought to myself, you know, we love Bradford, we love what they're doing. But I thought, oh, I want to be back with my family in Bradford, in Scarborough. I want to be back here with my family. You're my family, sorry, and all that. We might not like all our family, but you know, you can't get away from it. So the dictionary talks about a net. This is what it says. It says, it's a fabric made of interlocking thread, knotted, crossed, tied and stretched to catch fish. And the strength of the net depends on the number of twists and knots. Now, if the strength depends on the knots, the crossings and the ties, I might knot you, cross you, tie you, offend you. What are you going to do? You're going to get offended. Not you, Chris. But this is what's happened in churches. Well, there's no love in this church. Jesus said offences will come. There's going to be offences. What do? Get over it. Get over it. Get over it. So to stay in the net. See, I've been to a lot of churches that say, well, if everybody had stayed here who's been in this church, we'd have thousands. Well, where did they go? They got out of the net. Because the net broke. Because somebody says, well, I'm not talking to you, and I'm not friends with you. And just that part of the net broke. And fish got out. And, you know, and you get a few folks around you, and they get offended with you. They take on your offense. They leave the church. The net's broke. The fish get out. So we've got to make the net stronger. So very quickly, I want to talk about net mending and net making. I want to tell you how we're going to make the net, but then I want to tell you about seven net rippers, things that rip the net, that force it to come open and the fish get out. And I'm thinking, well, I will print this up for you if you want, these net rippers and the net menders later on if you want. But making the net, weaving it, and making sure that we go catching fish. And they're not going to get out because we're all looking after the body. It's a body thing. It's a covenant thing. And I believe there are there are two nets. There's a leadership team net and there's a congregation net. Now, I'm not saying it's the us and them. Don't get saying, oh, it's the us and them, brother. I've heard people say this before. Well, now you're a leader. It's the us and them. That's junk. We're all priests and kings. We're all called to do the same job. Some are called to lead. Some aren't. Simple as that. But as a leadership net team, built on covenant, built on commitment to one another, and leadership net team goes dragging for new leaders. It looks for new leaders, where you teach and equip the congregation net to go fishing for the fish. See, a shepherd don't breed sheep. The sheep breed sheep. And the shepherd takes care of the sheep, makes sure the sheep are okay, feeds them, takes care of them. That's the leadership team job. But the leadership team net, it's got to be built on commitment. It's got to be built on covenant. It's got to be built together it's not governed by hiring and firing. Well, I better not say to Pastor Paul, I don't agree with that because he'll fire me. And all this junk. It's not built on that. It's built on relationship. And if you're in relationship, you say many things to one another because you know that this person's for me, he's not against me, so whatever he says to me, I'm going to listen, whether he's right or not, but we're built together out of covenant. We're built together because we've committed together to say, what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine, we're covenanted together. That's our leadership. See, strong leadership breeds strong people. And there's too many weak leaderships in this country. Well, I better not say that today because Mrs. Brown over there, she won't like it, and Mr. Smith over there, I daren't mention that, and oh, what a load of junk. But that's what it's like in most churches in this country. You're afraid to say what you think God wants you to say because you're going to offend somebody. If you get offended, get over it. If you get offended by anything I've said this morning, get over it, because the thing is, I love you. It's as simple as that. So I'm not saying anything to get at anybody. I'm saying this is what I think God wants me to say. And if you're offended, get over it. Come see me and I'll repent to you. Might not agree with you, but I remember once I was preaching in a church in Nottinghamshire, and I had this revelation that I got water baptized, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I said, I'm going to get baptized again. And now I'm going to do it in the right way, knowing the power there is in water baptism. Man, I had this old couple come to me, been saved 50 years. They tore me to shreds. You're teaching second baptism. I said, no, I'm not. And they came to, man, they gave me hell. Next Sunday they came and said, we want to come to you, brother. We want to repent. God kept us up every night this week, wouldn't let us even go to sleep. And we've got to come and repent to you. And we would like to be baptized again. I mean, it was incredible, absolutely incredible. So I'm, thank you, Lord. Because you feel pretty bad when people come and, you know what I mean, but when people chew on you. Sharp, Brian. Covenant, net making. I believe there are eight covenants where we can make this net. Number one, the covenant of affirmation. Nothing you do or say will ever stop me loving you. Oh, come on. I'll fight for you, I'll protect you. We're woven together, we're knotted, crossed and tied. And I might say something that might just rub you up the wrong way. But hang on, we're knotted, crossed and tied. Can't get out of it. If we get out of it, the net's going to break, the fish are going to get out. Two, covenant of availability. My time is your time. I'll sit at the apostles' feet. I'll make time for whatever's needed to be made time for. You know, and I've put in 7 days a week at church and had a full-time job. I know what it's like. But I was young. I was younger than Paul. But I know what it's like. I've had a full-time job, long job, and I've given my life to the church. So I know what it's like. But I'll make time. I'll make sure I'm available. Three, the covenant of prayer. I'll pray for you, but not only will I pray for you, I'll be practical as well. Because you've got practical needs. I want to do things practical for you as well. I'll pray for you, yeah? Because we all say, so I'll pray for you, brother. And next day you think, well, I've forgotten to do that. I've had my prayer time and I forgot to pray for them. It's a little bit blasé, really, in the church. I'll pray for you, brother. You know, pray and practical. Pray and practical. Pray and practical. Covenant of openness. Be transparent. Make vulnerable. I've got feet of clay. I make mistakes. But with me, it's WYSIWYG. WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. WYSIWYG. That's how we need to be. We need to be that open. What you see is what you get. I'm not going to say something to you and then talk to someone else behind your back. Like, I'm glad you said that in front of my back. That's what it is. You come in church, you know, how are you, brother? Fine. You're lying. Be open. Well, I'm really bad, actually. I'm suffering. I'm struggling. Oh, perhaps I can help you. You know, and I think if we can get like that, man, the fish aren't going to get out. We'll catch loads of fish, and they won't get out. The covenant of honesty. I'm going to mirror back what you say to me, and I'm going to lay it on the line. If I think you're wrong, I'm going to tell you. And if you think I'm wrong, I want you to tell me. And then we can talk about it. Then we can get through it, because that's honesty. The covenant of sensitivity. I'll be mature. I'll be sensitive to your hurts, your needs, and your spiritual life. I'm going to be sensitive to you. Not enough sensitivity, really. It's about being really sensitive with people. We're talking to Judith, and Judith was talking about her daughter. And she said, my daughter said, you said she's really beautiful one Sunday. And I'd forgotten I'd said that, but that's being sensitive. She's beautiful. And it's time we told one another how wonderful we are and how beautiful we are. It came out in a prayer meeting last week, I think, that God said, we're telling God how wonderful he is, weren't we? He goes, oh, God, you're wonderful. All of a sudden, God says, tell them that I think they're wonderful as well. Do you know you're wonderful this morning? If you're a son of God in here this morning, you're wonderful. If you're not a son of God in here this morning, you're going to be. Because we're going to give you time in a moment to say you want to be. But it's time we realized how wonderful we are. Not because of us. We're nothing, but it's who we've got living in us. That's the key. That's what the world's got to see. The covenant of confidentiality. People say something to you, it's not on the notice board next Sunday. You know, you've got to keep things confidential. People have got to be able to trust you. And then the covenant of accountability. I'll submit and say I'm accountable to you. Lynn and I went away for a week's vacation. Lynn had been working since we moved back. And I took her away for a week, but I phoned Pastor Martin. I think Pastor Paul was in California. I phoned Pastor Martin and said, you know, just want to let you know we're going away for a week. I didn't have to do that. But I want to make myself accountable. And perhaps we need to be accountable to somebody. and say, well, I wonder where they are this week, or perhaps they've got offended. Or no, make yourself accountable. Pastor Paul, I'm going away for a few days, just to let you know, not to bombard you. Well, they wouldn't let you know, they'd let the team know. But it's a question of just being accountable. That's the net making. Now the net rippers, get ready. These are things that rip the net, which we've got to put right. Number one, unresolved offence. Jesus said offences will come, get over it. See, Jesus talked about the scandalon. That's the Greek word for offence. It's a scandalon. It was a bait stick. It was a stick they put in a hole with some bait on, and the animal fell in it and got speared. It was a bait stick. He said, offences will come. Of course they're going to come. If you belong to me, offences are going to come. They're going to bombard you. You say, yeah. Hey, listen, in church, I've been hurt by so many people in church you would not believe. But then probably so have you. And what do you do about it? Get over it. I must say, in this whole world, I don't know, hold anything against one person. And some people have even tried to kill me. And some people have tried to kill me spiritually as well. I don't hold anything against anybody. Get over it. Because if you don't get over it, it'll eat you away. It's like a cancer, it'll just eat you away. Don't get offended. Find out why they said it or why they did it. I had a man in America who said something about me. And he told lies about me. And that man's house got hit by a tornado. Nobody was injured, but his house was matchsticks. I'm being serious. This is what we've got. We're sons of the living God. We ain't some bunch of dummies in church on a Sunday making a noise and then going back to our normal lives. Hey, listen, church is for every day. Amen. Amen. Number two, uncontrolled tongue. See, God hates gossips. Unless you're gossiping the gospel. Gossip cuts the net. It rips the net. Don't go get gossiping. God really hates gossip. People say, well, God hates adultery. Yeah? He doesn't hate the adulterer. He hates adultery, but I think he hates gossip more. Number three, unforgiving spirit. Keeps account of everything that goes wrong. Well, you remember 2.5 years ago when you did this, Pastor Paul, and then 3 weeks ago when you said this, and then Brian, you did this, and just keeps account of everything that went wrong. Get over it. Number four, unfulfilled expectations. Well, they don't use me, and I'm a great singer, and I'm a really good musician, but they don't use me. I'm not staying in this church because they haven't seen my talent. Let me tell you, a man's ministry makes way for itself. If you've got a ministry that God's given you, it makes way for you. You don't have to fret. First day I came in here, I'm sitting behind Brian, and he's got his Bible case right in front of me. What's it say, Brian?
They that wait upon the Lord.
They that wait. God's saying to me, God said, read that. I said, no, he says, no, just read the first bit. They that wait, they that wait, they that wait. Okay, Lord, not my strong point, but they that wait, they that wait, they that wait. If you've got a ministry, guess what? It'll be recognized. Pretty simple. This is a good one, number five. Unwise leadership decisions. What do you do if the leadership make a bad decision? Number one, you get on the phone and gossip. No, of course you don't. What do? You pray for the leaders. There was a man in America who wanted a lot of money for his church. So he decided this person had given him an antique grandfather clock. So he said, I'm going to raffle this grandfather clock and make all this money for the church building. And he raffled this clock and got all this money. And God said to him, that was pretty stupid. I want you to give all that money back. And I want you to give the clock away. And he had to go before his people. And he had to say, guys, I've messed up. I've made a bad decision. And God's told me to do this. What do you think people did? Got on the phone and gossiped. Of course not. You know, you got to pray for your leaders. They ain't going to make every decision perfect. But as long as you're praying for them, you're upholding them, and you are honoring them. You see, we talked in the prayer meeting a few weeks ago about Pastor Paul was away, about honouring leadership. Honouring. Because it just rubs back on you. It's as though you're honouring God. Because if God's put a leader in, it's not for you to say they shouldn't be there. Unwise leadership decisions. I like that one. Number six, unidentified loyalty. Loyalty is never tested in a time of blessing. It's only tested in a time of war or fire. Acts 28, when Paul goes and collects all those sticks for the fire, he puts them on the fire. You don't know the snake is till the fire comes. So what you need to do is build a few fires around people and see if they're loyal. It's never tested in a time of blessing. It's only tested when there's problems. Well, brother, I'll stand with you forever. Yeah, till the trouble comes, you say, oh, yeah, I'm off. You've got to find people who have been through the most fires. Get them around you because they've been through it and they've come through the other end. They've been through the fires. They've been tested and tried. The last one, number 7, uncontrolled charisma. When personality and talent usurp the Holy Spirit and make people believe they're anointed. Seen it, especially in America, you see it all the time. You know, oh boy, look at the talent. You can buy talent. I said to Claire, you can't buy anointing, but you can buy talent. We could pay musicians to come in here, you know, top musicians in the world. What have you got? Talent. God's not looking for talent. He's looking for Holy Ghost people. He's looking for people who have got anointing. See, Billy Graham's not a great preacher. Billy Graham says, Mary had a little lamb, fleece was white as snow, and 50,000 people get saved. You know, not a great preacher. It ain't about that, it's about the anointing. It's about what people carry. This man's carrying what God's given him. And you might not agree with everything. I don't agree with the energy, really. Because you've got so much energy, it's just making me feel old. But let me tell you, he's carrying it. Guys, now is the time to go to the next level. But it's a together thing, it's a unity thing, it's a Joshua 3 thing where he said they all crossed over together. And who put their feet in the water? The priests. See, God gets the leaders to move over first. He said, you get out in the water, it's in flood season, so the water's pretty deep. And not like Moses, where God opened it like that. They had to walk in when there was water there. So they got to step out in faith a little bit. But he asked the leaders to do that first. He didn't ask the people to do that first. He asked the leaders to do it first. They all crossed over. It's an all thing. And while I was sort of getting this together, I felt like God saying, I want you to prophesy over this people. And if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Ezekiel 47, would you? I think this is really important. Because God's going to release something here this morning. Ezekiel 47, verse 6. He asked me, son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. You know, men are called trees, oaks of righteousness. He said to me, the water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters into the sea. When it empties into the sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will be there wherever the river flows. There will be a large number of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Glam. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But the swamps and marshes will not come fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. God wants to release this morning some fishermen of En Gedi. There's lots of talk about this among Bible scholars, about the fishermen of En Gedi. God wants to release fishermen. He wants fishermen to start releasing their nets over this fresh water. I saw a DVD of Pastor Clive last week where he's talking about the saltwater fishermen. And he talks about salt is for long term. God's getting into the fresh mode. I believe we've got to have fresh fish and fresh bread. See, if we got fresh fish, we've got to give people fresh bread. When they built the altar, they used to put fresh bread on it all the time. And fresh coals and fresh oil. And God wants it to be fresh. Don't want to preach a sermon you preached 25 years ago and do it like we did it 25 years ago. And oh God, it's not like it used to be. Thank God. We want it like it. God wants it to be now. But God's going to release fishermen. This place needs fishermen. We need to be a net. We need to be connected, knotted, crossed, tied together, and stay in the net, even if we upset one another. You know, I might knot you, cross you, tie you. But if we stay in the net, no fish are going to get out. Then we can honestly say in a few years' time, boy, we didn't let those fish get out. We've still got this many people. But too many nets just break because of all those things. God wants to release fishermen. God is releasing the fishermen of En-Gedi. And I'm just going to speak this over this place right now. And anybody who's away, Pastor Martin and various other people, they're part of this. They're part of this net. We don't care if they're away, they're part of the body. And this is a body thing, it's a kingdom thing, it's a covenant thing. It's an all thing. They were all together in one place. They were all in one accord. They were all in one mind, one spirit. Man. If you could only get there. But, hang on a sec, they got there in Acts chapter 2. And they're no different to us. Well, they walk with Jesus, brother. Yeah, well, don't we? We don't see him like they did, but God said, I'm going to give you someone just like me. Just like Jesus, I'm going to give you another one. Guess where he lives? In the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. We can do this. I'm speaking over this body. We can do this. We can be unified. We can be full of unity. We can be full of grace and mercy. We can realize that we are sons of the living God, not servants of the living God. Nothing wrong with a servant attitude, as long as you know you're a son. Amen. See, God makes a statement in the Bible. God does nothing unless he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. What I've seen in America is he reveals it to his big shots, the prophets. I've seen quite a lot of that. You've seen a bit of it. But God don't want any big shots. Moses was a big shot in Egypt. God took him into the wilderness to become a little shot. And then for 40 years he took him and trained him and he showed him what he could do with a little shot. You know, and you might think, well, I'm pretty, I can't do this. Guess what? You can be part of that net and you can be knotted, crossed, tied together so that we can go fishing for God. Amen? So Father, I just release this over this body right now in Jesus' name that we will be unified. It will be unity. It will be peace, joy in the Holy Ghost so that fish are going to jump in the net. Lord, we won't even have to do too much, but fish are going to want to jump into this net because people out there will see something. Father, we come against that net in Habakkuk 1. The enemy's net. We come against that. We want to empty that. And we want to give the people, the fish, a ruler. Because, Lord, we've got a ruler. We've got a king. We've got a God that's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Father, we realize who you are this morning. And we realize what you want to do in this place. So, Father, we humbly say, Lord, we'll do whatever you want us to do. And we'll go wherever you want us to go. And we will stretch this body to be able to catch more fish. Father, we'll be knotted, crossed, and tied that we can go fishing for you. Now, if you're here this morning, just keep your eyes closed a second. If you're here this morning and you don't know that you're part of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't know that you're 100% saved, you don't know that you've got any realization of, well, you know, I've been to church for a lot of years, but I've never given God 100%. If you're here this morning and you're that person and you say, I'd love to be a part of this net. I'd love to be with people who love me. I'd love to be with people who care for me. I'd love to be with people who don't get offended all the time. And this sounds really good. If you're one of those people here today, if you just like slip your hand up and put it down, we'll the pastoral team will just pray for you afterwards. But if you're here today and you've been coming to this church for a while and you've never given 100%, perhaps you can do it now even in your seat. You don't need to come out and fall on the floor. You can just say, God, I want to give you 100%. Because 99.9% is not good enough. God said, I need it all. Boys and girls, men and women, I need it all. I don't want a part of it. So if you're one of those people, you need to come talk to the pastoral team afterwards and just say, boy, I've only been giving 75%. I've only been given. Most churches, if you get 80-20, you've done good. So if you're one of those people, come and talk to the pastoral team afterwards. And the Lord bless you. Thanks, Pastor Paul.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.